stuff, you know? So fully credited, I just put OpenQuery magic into it, so it actually has my slide layout. But apart from that, it uses his information. I'm going to run through it really quickly because the slides actually provide full information and illustration and documentation for the whole process. You can copy it from his slides, from his site, openwin.org/mike/presentations, or you can just get a copy from me. I'm running through this quickly to show you what methods are being used, not just in MySQL, but also in other database systems, for dealing with hierarchies. There's a couple of methods, and there's also something I'm working on myself, and that is not in the slides, and I'll just do the live, well, not quite live demo, but I'll show you the concept in my console. You may like that, but we can discuss that, and I'll use the whiteboard to demo some more. So this is Mike Hillier. He's a former member of the MySQL documentation team. How many of you are managing hierarchical data, or graphs, or anything of the sort? One? I think there were more before. Yeah? Menu structures? Most CMSs do it. See, there goes the hands. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so hierarchical data. So it's anything that has a parent-child-like relationship, but it could also just be any, think of a social network, friends of friends of friends. That's not a hierarchical structure, but it's a graph. Still, fundamentally, it's the same kind of idea. A hierarchy is a graph is not necessarily a hierarchy. What I'm discussing later will deal with graphs. What I'm discussing here only deals with hierarchies. Hierarchies are a pest, because they're a tree, and trees don't map into the relational model. And a relation is a table. It doesn't map into a table very neatly. You can write it into a table, and it looks really pretty, but running a query on it, like one query that actually gives you all children of a particular parent, becomes complicated. You need to use some foo. So let's say we've got product categories. I'm checking sometimes. I'm getting magic stuff here rather than there, so I'm checking that I'm still in the right spot. So let's say you've got a product category system. You could, for instance, do this. You give each item a category ID, and then they have their name and they have a parent. And if they don't have a parent, they're the top level. This is a really simple system. How do you actually make this work? Well, you could do joins, and then you can do a number of levels. There's a problem with this. The number of levels you can do is the same as the number of joins you're doing. Because they're left joined, you don't have to go that number of levels deep. It'll just add nulls, so that's fine. But the number of levels you can use is limited, or you have to overdo it in terms of your query. You have to use a lot of joins in there that then don't get used. So it's not a particularly pretty method. In one application that I've done, as in a prototype for an application, I've actually not used the joins because I've got an arbitrary depth thing. I just do the individual queries and then recurse through it. So I'm doing a lot of queries and I'm essentially relying on the query cache to save me. As long as I don't change the underlying table, the query cache will give me the result immediately rather than actually having to run the query. So it's fairly fast. I can use memcached, I can do client-side caching, there's any number of ways to do that. So this is like the really basic way of dealing with hierarchies, and there's various ways of querying it. Another example of this is a company hierarchy. So there's the CEO at the top, and there's a number of managers, and so on, and everybody has a boss, and so on. That's a typical HR tree that you would use in exercises with this kind of stuff. So this gets you a full tree, and again, because of those joins, you know exactly how many levels deep you can look. Getting a leaf node is relatively simple. Looks like that. And you get the right result. And you can get a path, but you can tell the query is getting more complicated here. Assembling these queries in an application, you probably want to write a class that actually, a method that actually does this stuff for you. It's doable. It's better than handcrafting it, but just gets painful. Limitations. Okay, it's not normalized. Deleting nodes just like that can orphan kids in the tree. Multiple self-joins, not necessarily a problem. I mean, it's indexed. Well, I hope it's indexed, and if it's indexed, the lookup is actually fairly quick. It's better than actually doing what I did, the loose queries perhaps, but still, it's not the most optimal way necessarily to do things. And you generally need procedural code, as in something in your application language or something in a stored procedure, to actually take care of the magic that does things. And if you remove something in the middle layer, you need to reattach everything. So you still need either a stored procedure or a method that actually takes care of deleting nodes. This is new magic. And again, this is not MySQL specific. This information, as you see it at the end of this presentation, actually comes from a book called SQL for Smarties by Joe Selko. And Joe Selko, until MySQL version 5, didn't actually regard MySQL as a real database. And this book precedes that time. So it has nothing to do with MySQL. So nested sets, he didn't invent the stuff either. It's just a very good book with all the information. There's even a separate book that just takes that chapter from the SQL for Smarties book, and it's SQL trees and hierarchy or something. You can find it on Amazon. So what does it do? Well, you see the pretty Venn diagrams there. And it nests the set. Now, how does it do this? This is what the actual structure looks like, and you have left and right numbers. How does it work out the numbers? You flatten the graph, the graphic, let's say, and then you num the whole thing from left to right. You can use a stored procedure to do this for you, and that's exactly the idea. All the code, if you grab the book or any online tutorial that does the same thing with nested sets, it's all there. You can do it procedurally in your application language, or you can have a stored procedure that says add node in between blah, blah, and blah, blah, and it actually does it for you. Yes? Exactly. Yep. It's all over the place. It's just that lots of people don't know about it, which is why we're covering it. Yes. It's all there. So you don't need to recreate this yourself. The code exists. You just apply it to your own situation. You might need to tweak it slightly or change the language, but it's fairly simple. So you get this structure if you unflatten it again. And then what you do is a fairly simple query. You can grab a full tree. You can grab all leaf nodes. You can calculate the depth of a particular entry in the tree. You can create output with indent. That's pretty shiny, isn't it? Complicated query, but it does calculate the depth of a subtree. And again, you hide this somewhere in a method, and that's the result of that particular query. You can find all the children of a current item. Well, you can do that in the first example as well. That's really easy. Find all the things whose parent is. Yeah. You can do aggregate functions with it, like so. So how many children do I have, and that kind of stuff. Adding a node. You can add a sibling. So that is done procedurally. So you would hide this in a stored procedure. And it's here in the example done with lock table and unlock table. That's not a particularly pretty way. It just makes it safe inside MyISAM. You would probably do this in InnoDB and stick it in a transaction. But the operation is pretty quick. So doing it with lock table, it's basically a poor man's transaction. Of course, if the thing crashes during one of the update operations, you've stuffed your table, as we've just discussed for MyISAM. That's the way it works. So you probably use this on InnoDB, not MyISAM. All right? So that's adding a sibling, adding a child. And again, I'm going through this really quickly just to give you an idea of what's there. It's all out there, and I can give you these slides. Deleting a leaf node is done like that. So we have a procedure to do that. Deleting all parents and all children. Deleting a parent and then relinking the children is done like that. And there's some special tricks, like you can move an entire subtree, you can calculate gaps, you use floats, so you don't actually need to, well, normally on an insert, you actually need to renumber nodes. Now, you need to make sure that the ID that you refer to other tables is not the one that changes. You have an extra number in the table that can actually change. So you have a primary key that is a foreign key for other tables, and you have an extra number that you use for this magic, two separate things. But if you use floats for that secondary number, you don't have to renumber everything because a float kind of has more more leeway to insert stuff. It's a nifty trick there. Okay, so this is another method that is very efficient. This only works if you have a clean hierarchy where a child doesn't have multiple parents, because otherwise it just doesn't work. If it's a clean hierarchy without symlinks, not a problem. And there are definite cases where you have that. And then this is a very efficient model. Do use MySQL 5 and do use something like a stored procedure that hides all that internal stuff for you. Just put those stored procedures in the database and call them when you actually need to add a node, remove a node, that kind of stuff, and use the examples that exist out there. It just saves you debugging. The code has all been done like decades ago. It's not new. Okay? Another method. Any questions so far? I know I'm going fast. Okay. Materialized path is another... on the last slide? Yep. Is another method of doing things. It's basically a funny hack. It breaks some relational rules, but it's functional, so who cares? And you get this kind of effect. So you could say televisions is 1,2. Oh, I can't. Don't actually have a cursor to play with here. So you actually write out the entire path of a node, so you know exactly where they are. One of the fairly well-known systems that does this is the Easy Publish CMS. It actually uses materialized paths. At least it did a while ago. I'm not sure whether it still does, but I was told that it did. So you can grab a full tree. You can grab leaf nodes. It's not particularly complicated. You just mangle things around a bit. Depending on how you organize it, some operations are not particularly fast because they can't necessarily be indexed since it's one field with a string in it. You can find a single path. That's, of course, really easy. But find in set is really inefficient. It'll need to scan the entire table. Usually, category tree tables are fairly small, relatively small. I mean, they may have a couple of thousand entries, but it's relatively small. So scanning the entire table or an entire index, it's not too bad. But you have to realize it's not a fast index lookup like you have with the other models. You can calculate node depth by just doing some string calculations, essentially. You can do the indent magic like we showed before. You can calculate the depth of a subtree, but you can see there's a lot of string calculations going on now. To me, it looks less pretty, but it's functional within its limited tasks. Immediate subordinates you can find. You can run aggregate functions on that. You can add a node. You can delete a leaf node. You can delete a parent and all children. And again, you can promote all children. So it's similar to the previous one. It's just a simplified form of it. I don't think it looks as pretty, but it's very functional. It's slightly easier to implement, possibly, but it's a similar idea. This is where all the information comes from. That's Joe Shelko, cool looking dude. That's the original book, and like I said, the chapter that has the trees and hierarchies, or maybe it's two chapters, is actually a separate book as well. I would just recommend getting the big one. You get better value relatively. Much of that book does use things like view, store procedures, triggers, and that kind of stuff, which will work, maybe not literally, but at least conceptually, they will work in MySQL 5. Before MySQL 5, it was mostly book for reference. Now you can actually really apply the solutions that he offers. He assembled this book from... He used to be like the answer man on the CompuServe SQL forums, and people sent him questions. I work in this hospital, and our patient tracking system needs to do this and this. How do I solve this? And he and other people would discuss it, and he'd come up with a solution. He's been tracking that, and that's what he based the book on. So there's a lot of real-world, basically cookbook, real-world situations. And it's just really useful for reference. It's very educational. And while you're reading it, you actually come up with other ideas. So I find it very useful in actually getting more familiar with SQL. He does some real magic in there. I'm not that good at writing SQL. This guy is the master, really. There's other people who's good at it, but he's really, really good. Any questions so far on these methods? Everybody's still quiet. Okay. No. Fine with me. All right. Now, for something else entirely, I need to turn on mirroring. That could work. Now, let's play a what if. Is it actually going within the screen? That's it. What if you could actually represent a tree or a hierarchy, well, a tree or a graph entirely relationally and query it relationally without doing ugly things? Wouldn't that be nice? Can be done. It isn't quite there yet, but I'm building it. This is actually a fairly old idea. Getting it implemented into MySQL has been a bit of a tricky thing. With the pluggable storage engines in 5.1, that has been my break. And after I left MySQL, I actually had time to look into it, and it became more than an idea. This is approximately the table structure that I'm using. It could look slightly different. It doesn't really matter. As you also see, it doesn't contain any data. I'm purely storing, let's say, originating ID is like a node somewhere in your graph. So it's like the ID of an item, a category ID. If it is connected to something else, that's the destination ID. It links from blah to blah, blah. So that's the vertices, okay? It can have a weight, that connection. And that's actually all the information that it has internally. The rest is magic foo, and I'll show you in a minute. I should also tell you that this table internally doesn't actually exist. Isn't that funny? So you create this table. It's only created in memory, for starters. I will not do disk storage. It will not do transactions. I really don't care about those things. I'm just trying to get the graph thing going. And internally, it doesn't store rows at all. Internally, it is actually a graph. Externally, it looks like a table. That's the trick. So this is what the table looks like that you create. And at the moment, we have a basic storage engine that can create this and it can insert rows and stuff. But apart from that, it crashes all over the place. So I'm not going to give you a live demo. I'll show you the backend without the SQL layer so you can see what my backend code does when it actually does queries and how it works. So what I'm actually doing, and I should probably draw it on the board once I get the information done. Hang on, I ran this twice, didn't I? Okay, so think of this, I'm inserting and I'm outputting debugging code while I'm inserting. So this is a little test tool that I have using the backend library. It just doesn't use SQL to do it. But I do have an insert this row with a node ID and it links to number 2. That's what I'm doing. The only thing I'm missing is the SQL, so I can't write SQL to show you. Let's stick this on the board. And maybe I've done this at the local user group and I found that actually writing this down graphically allows people to wrap their head about around the slightly quirky idea that is the foundation of this. So we have one that links to 3 and one that links to 2. Okay, hang on. 2, 3. 2 links to 4. 3 links to nothing and 4 links to nothing. Okay, there you go. 1 to 2, 1 to 3, 2 to 4. Okay, that works. So, just putting it over the top there. So I've just recreated what I've put in at the top. Okay? Now, if you read that back from the storage engine, you actually get back that information. You get slightly more information back. Why is that? What extra information are we getting?
The existence of 3.
Yes, exactly. The existence of 3 is inferred from the link from 1 to 3, but we're not actually inserting node 3, but it has to be there because something is linking to it. So I'm just inventing it on the spot.
Could it run, is that full throw in that first lockup there redundant?
Yes, it is redundant. Yes, because it would create number four anyway, but it doesn't matter. An ID is always unique. It doesn't create a duplicate key error. You can insert that now, at least at the moment. I mean, I'm still working out the exact behavioral side effects because I'm doing stuff that hasn't been done before. Again, it's not actually a table. So the normal rules of should I put a primary key on this, should there be an index on that, they don't apply. So I'm changing my mind as I go along because it doesn't work that way. Well, not quite. It will be GPL. So when this engine is finished, it will be GPL. I'm not guaranteeing I'll give away the source code for download for everybody, but all my customers will get the source code to the engine they have. Yeah? So I'll sell it and you get the source code under the GPL license. So in principle, they could publish it if they wanted to. So strictly speaking, it's open source. It is not freely available for download right now. And anyway, in any case, it's not available for download at all. It's not licensed in any way. Yes? There you go. I do need to run a business. I'll be happy to exchange business cards and talk. No, seriously. Or for testing, I'm quite willing to talk with that kind of stuff anyway. Okay, so that's the output of everything. It's basically select star from table. You get, that's the equivalent. You get that output as I just put on the screen. I do have a cursor now. So that's that information. Now, output everything where originating ID equals one. So I'm inserting a where clause. It still looks like a table, and I only get, well, who are the children of number one? If number one didn't have any children, it would still show a one. It's just item one, what connections does it have, including its own existence? If nothing would show up, item one doesn't exist. So that's a fairly simple query. This is a funny query, and I tripped over that at the local user group. It doesn't try to find the shortest path. I didn't bother with that algorithm. I'm just trying to find any path, as in find a path, okay? Of course, there's various ways of finding shortest path, and definitely that will be implemented. And I'll tell you in a moment how I actually do this, and this actually outputs in the wrong order. But that's okay, there's order by, right? What it does is I give the system a command. Now, how do I give it a command? I use the latch to do that. And it actually somehow, I think at the moment it actually, its output is incorrect. I think latch should actually show one. What I'm actually doing is in the where clause, I'm actually passing the engine a command, as in what should it magically do internally. Who here is familiar with like old style TTL chips and that kind of stuff, hardware? You've got latches there. You prod a value in a register somewhere, which changes the behavior of other registers. They become input registers, they become output registers. You address a different part of the chip. Yeah, that's what this latch does as well, except I do it in software. So when it is zero, you just get the entire table back. When the latch is one, it tries to find any path. When the latch is two, it might try to find a path to the root. It does something.
So when I try the latch on that first row we're seeing there, it's trying to find the shortest path.
It starts to find a path in this case, yes?
From 1 to 3?
From 1 to 3. So it is select star from table where latch equals one. We can check the source code in a second. So the output here is wrong, it shouldn't be zero. It's just output bug. And I am running the actual code, so it's actually really a bug. It's not a text file. It is actually output for my test code, okay? So where latch equals one or whatever the magic number is that I've used for that particular command, and orig ID equals one and destination ID equals three. The cool thing is on output, that actually is still true. So I'm not magically outputting something different. Latch is still the same value on output. The actual where clause is adhered to. Yeah, it's clean. The where clause is there. There's extra columns. So the weight, well, it happens to be zero. I didn't put any weights in on input. Sequence zero and one. This is where the interesting bit comes in. So what has happened? I'm finding the path. If I do an order by on sequence, That would be the first item. That would be the second item. This is the first step. This is the second step. So where is my path? Well, the first item in the path is 1. The second item in the path is 3. There you go. There's 1. There's 3. 1, 3. Perfect. So you've got a perfectly relational hierarchy. Shiny, isn't it? Now from 1 to 4, which is a two-step. So again, you have the latch, whatever number it was, from 1 to 4. Weight is still 0. The order bias is wrong. It is just the way the system outputs it. But it should be the other way around if you actually run a query on it and you use order by. But you may want it in reverse order. You run it order by descending. This is essentially what comes out now. These are the actual links. These are the steps. 1, 2, 4, because we're following 0, 2, 1, that order. 1, 2, 4, there's your path. Easy. Relational hierarchies. And you can do this with graphs, because this system doesn't care whether it's a hierarchy, a graph. For the system, it's the same. It is a graph, which is why it's called the graph engine. So there you go. Okay, and then finally, output any path from 3 to 2. And at the moment, there is no path because I've actually only created links that are one way. In the end, there'll be an option of telling the system that it is a bidirectional whatever. I haven't quite worked that out. Anyway, then it would be able to walk back and so on. But at the moment, it does behave in this sense like a hierarchy. It assumes that it can't walk backwards. There you go. Any questions? And I'll look up the source code to see what the latch actually should be doing.
You mentioned shortest path, not just any path. Isn't that one of those really hard problems when you get a large number of nodes, the traveling salesperson problem?
Yep, it is. But I actually have a graph internally. So my system is no more complex than whatever any other graph library uses. In fact, what I'm very likely to use is a Boost graph library because it's already been done. So this little, I hacked this up at a couple of months ago at 2 a.m. Because the guy who was building the front end glue for me said, yeah, well, I'm not too familiar with that bit. Can you actually just build it for me? And I had a bit of inspiration. I couldn't sleep. So I actually hacked it up in C. It's pretty evil C, but it works. 2 hours total, and it's now, well, reasonably functional, except that it outputs the latch number incorrectly. Well, I think actually know now why it does that. Because it's not actually query. Let's see, GS test. No.
I'll just ask one more question. The weights there, you're not doing anything yet. You're heading for like neural network stuff or something, aren't you? Is that one of the...
Could do. Could be one of the applications. So here's the actual code. So I'm zeroing out my thing, and then latch is 1, originating ID and destination ID is 3. So out should actually come 1 when I'm searching a path. It doesn't. So that's something in the underlying code that gets stuffed. The output table is not correct compared to the input table. So that's actually a bug. It should be relationally clean. That's fundamentally what should be happening. What do you reckon? Usable? Shiny.
You mentioned that was all done in memory.
Yes. Well, in theory, it could be done on disk, but why bother?
Well, if you have 2 million records, maybe. If you have 2 million records.
It's 2 million connections. The data is not actually in this table. You join onto, and because it's perfectly relational, there's no reason not to join onto some other table. Yes, there are actually init, what's it called? Not init connect. There is an option in the MySQL server. You can actually have it run one or more SQL queries when the database server starts. You can do it fully automatically and you never notice.
But what if you don't have, if you want to deploy stuff on systems which you don't have complete control over?
Okay. There's trade-offs here.